This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
It's time now for our Common Health segment, and joining us in the studio is the co-host of the Common Health blog, Carrie Goldberg. Hi there, Carrie.
Hey, Meghna.
So I understand that there's some major news this week from the UMass Medical School.
That's right, and from Mass General Hospital and from a whole consortium of researchers. The news is that for the first time, if everything goes as planned, next year there is expected to be a human clinical trial of gene therapy for Tay-Sachs disease.
And Tay-Sachs is something that so far has been incurable, so this seems to be a major step forward. But remind us, what exactly is Tay-Sachs?
So Tay-Sachs is a genetic disease. It stems from a defect in a single gene, and it really is an exceptionally horrible disease. A baby will seem pretty much normal till 5 or 6 months, and then their brains degenerate so that by the time they're 2 or 3 or 4 years old, you're seeing seizures, blindness, deafness, paralysis, and then eventually death.
Oh, so they die very young.
It's a terrible
disease. Now, this is a genetic disease that's rare in part because both parents have to have a recessive form of that gene,
right.
So we don't see it more often because of that.
Right, and it tends to particularly affect certain ethnic groups, Ashkenazi Jews and Cajuns for some reason, but it can also crop up anywhere.
So, Carrie, it's very interesting that this is a gene therapy trial, or at least it's going to be, because right now, from what you're saying, it's in the planning phases and they're still seeking FDA approval.
Correct.
To turn it into a human trial. But, you know, on the other hand, gene therapy for quite a while, if I remember correctly, it's been marked with some major disappointments, but that seems to have been changing recently.
Well, yes, some people do think it's a tipping point for gene therapy. Gene therapy was very, very hot in the 90s. People thought it could be good for just about anything. And then it really kind of crashed. There was a college student who died in a gene therapy trial, and there were some other problems with it. And it's been sort of slowly working its way back up ever since then. The technology has been improving, and it's looking like it can, in fact, be useful for certain diseases.
Now, what is it that has happened so far in the research?
Well, in this particular trial, what lies behind it is that the researchers have been having some amazing results with animals, particularly cats. They have a feline version of Tay-Sachs disease, and they've been living much longer than expected.
So the results in cats so far have been so promising that they want to try it in humans.
That's a big part of the impetus, yes.
Well, Carrie, if you hang on for just a second, I want to bring in another voice into the conversation. He is Miguel Sena Estevez. He's an associate professor at UMass Medical School. And his lab's research has helped lead to this new genetic trial that's currently seeking FDA approval. Welcome to Radio Boston, Dr. Sena Estevez.
Hi, Meghna. Thank you.
So what exactly is the team planning to do, if, of course, the trial is approved, to patients who engage in the clinical trial?
So we're planning to do exactly what we've been building up to, as Carrie mentioned, in work that we've done in animals that are similar to Tay-Sachs. We plan on infusing into particular structures in the brain viral vectors that carry the normal genes necessary to make the missing protein, the missing enzyme. And what essentially we're doing is turning these centers into enzyme microfactories, if you will. And it's as if you set a factory in a region that has a lot of highways, mm-hmm. and that's the best way for you to distribute your enzyme.
So, just to be sure I understand correctly, you essentially inject into the brain, into particular parts of the brain, these viruses, which then deliver the genes that cause those parts of the brain to create an enzyme, which then spreads throughout the brain and body to help cure or reverse the effects of Tay-Sachs disease?
That is correct. It does not spread throughout the entire body because our brain sort of lives in its little isolated microenvironment. But it's certainly what we've seen in different animal models is that if we modify genetically those structures, deliver the normal genes that instruct the cells to make the normal protein, then we get widespread distribution of the enzyme throughout the entire brain. And that's what Carrie was mentioning, is that some of these natural cat model of Tay-Sachs disease that usually dies at about 3 to 4 months of age. He's surviving now for a long time, maintaining very, very good function, actually. So it's based on those results that we believe we're in a position to go into a clinical trial in humans.
Now, this seems to be quite a surprise because from what I had understood, there hadn't been much progress in searching for some form of treatment for Tay-Sachs for some time. So when you found that the cats that you were working on. We're living much longer than expected. What reaction did you have?
Well, on one hand, of course, we're very excited about the results. But then, you know, there's always that doubt in the back of your mind whether animals really represent a human. And, you know, what we usually tell patients and people that we give talks to is that this is very promising, but it's no guarantee that in a clinical trial it's going to work.
So Meghna, I would say this is, it's kind of an interesting balancing act because on the one hand, it's a very long way from animals to humans. And, you know, the history of science is full of things that worked in animals and then didn't work in humans. As Miguel has said, you know, if it always worked from animals to humans, we would have cured cancer right now. But at the same time, on an emotional level, this seems like the biggest hope for parents with children who have Tay-Sachs disease ever. And in fact, I was talking to one mother who said that it just gave her the shivers that her child had already died more than a decade ago. But the very fact that there could even be any hope for a child with Tay-Sachs right now was just incredible.
Dr. Sena Estevez, just to reiterate, this trial is still in the planning phase. You are seeking FDA approval. Presuming it does go ahead, when do you plan on beginning the human trial? And at what point in time do you think we may have a first wave of results?
We usually put that sometime in the second half of 2012 as a start date. I think it's going to take probably a year and a half to have some idea of whether it is having some impact on the progression of disease or slowing down or stopping it. Of course, that is obviously what we all hope for.
And the plan is to have the trial actually take place at Massachusetts General Hospital.
That is correct.
Carrie, one last question for you, actually. I mean, mm-hmm. You've been covering health issues and science for quite some time. It's not every day that a story like this comes along where there seems to be at least a ray of hope in a disease that previously didn't really have much. I mean, when you were talking to people whose families have been touched by Tay-Sachs, what was this? I mean, you mentioned the mother, but what was the sense overall about what this clinical trial might mean for them?
It was just potentially earth-shaking because it would change the whole outlook of the disease. I mean, as it stands now, Tay-Sachs is a genetic death sentence. And for that to change would be absolutely historic.
Well, we'll see how it goes, but promising nevertheless. Dr. Miguel Sena Estevez, Associate Professor at the University of Massachusetts Medical School, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on your program, Magna.
And Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, thank you so much for bringing us this story this week.
Thank you, Magna.
There's a link to Carrie's Common Health article at our website, radioboston.org.
Tomorrow on Radio Boston, 50 famous chefs, including Barbara Lynch and Lydia Shire of Boston, join us to talk about what they would cook for their final meal on Earth. That's Final Meals tomorrow on Radio Boston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com.
Our show is produced by Adam Ragusea, Jessica Albert, Dan Mossy, and Jason Breslow. Our interns are Gautier Giacomoni and Julia Lasagne.
Tim Skog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.